Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain in the building. It's the OG John Lopez. I'm Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. You're about to talk to a guy that's got some big shoes to fill. Dave Aranda, the head coach at Baylor, Baylor football coach, defensive coordinator at LSU, so he is a national champion. Started his work at Texas Tech, had some work at U of H. He's been around. Took him about 25 years from when he first started coaching to get that first opportunity. So it's got to be an exciting time for him. And I know that John McClain is probably the most famous Baylor alum that there is. Suck it, Mike Singletary.
And RG3.
And RG3 and all those people, whatever, blah, blah, blah. John McClain is the passionate Baylor coach. What did you think about the hire? Before we get him on the line, you didn't want him, did you? I'm just kidding.
I didn't know. I knew, and we talked about this a long time, we knew Matt Rhule was gone. You interview after your first year when you win one game with Indy, and then you're offered a job after your second year with the Jets, and you don't take it because they won't let you bring your coaches. And so it was no surprise. The surprise was he went to Carolina instead of the Giants where he had coached. But $60 million, I think anybody would have done that. When Matt did his interview at the Combine, of course, he did a really good job. He's a great talker. He understands the media. He did a great job with the media. And I think he went to dinner with their media at the Combine. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they told me, which was really smart. And I remember Bill O'Brien went to dinner with us one time at the Combine. I think it was after his first year. And so far they're fired up about Rhule. Baylor people are fired up about Aranda. He comes from a national championship team. A lot of the LSU players, they had, I think, 16 at the Combine. And several of them did really, really well. Mm-hmm. And Joe Burrow, of course, we want to ask him about Joe Burrow. And I think it's cool. Lane Kiffin's got the Ole Miss fans fired up. Dave Aranda's got the Baylor fans fired up. And we have Dave on the line now.
Yeah, we do. Without further ado, Baylor head coach Dave Aranda joins the show. I will let the prideful Baylor Bear alum John McClain introduce his head coach.
We've been talking about Dave and where he came from, national championship, where he's been. Dave, you're on with John and Landry. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh. You guys got it. Excited to be here with y'all.
And I just came back from a week at the Combine, watched a lot of your former players, watched Baylor players. But Joe Burrow, of course, didn't work out. He was a big talk right. in the NFL going to the top pick. What do you think Joe Burrow can take what he did in his one great year and transfer that to the NFL with the worst team in the league?
I do. You know, if there's a guy that can do it, it's Joe. I have that type of belief in him. You know, when Joe was with us, just his work ethic, his intensity, his focus, it's really something else. He provided just a leadership and an ability from a player perspective to build up the other players. And so they just felt like, here's someone that cares about us, that's working this hard. Look what he's achieving. Right, I want to match it because I don't want to let him down. And Joe would be the type that would work so hard that they would see it. They'd want it to emulate it. They'd want to be like him. And he kept reaching for further and further heights, and they kept following him. And, you know, when you have your team built like that, there's a lot of positive things that come out of it. And, you know, that was in store for us there, you know. But if there's one guy that could do it, it'd be Joe. I think he's really special that way.
Baylor head coach Dave Aranda joining us right now. We're going to get into the game that he's going to be playing here soon and certainly get into some of what he's got going on with Baylor. But it's NFL draft time. You know these guys as much as anyone. I want to go back to Joe Burrow real quick before we get to some of these other guys, because I've never uttered these words in my life, and those words I uttered to my co-host Landry Locker after the national championship game, and that was, I've never compared anyone to Tom Brady, but this guy has. And look, I know everybody's like, oh, Tom Brady. No, I'm not saying he's going to be Tom Brady. I'm saying he's got qualities of where to put the ball, when to put the ball, the decision making. It's just he's got qualities that seem reminiscent of Brady. I don't mean to set you up, but I'm just telling you what I see.
Put him in his place, Dave.
Well, what I see from my perspective when I watch him.
Well, I tell you what. I mean, there's times where I felt that. We're in spring ball, and we would always throughout the years calculate in spring what is the opposing, what's our quarterback, what's his QBR. And typically – in the past couple springs, it'd be 70. There might be a scrimmage or a day where he got to 90, 93, 95, and that was typically very high. Joe started day number one at 130 and never got below 120.
Man,
there was times he was 140, and it was 138, 143. It was that way the entire time. And so just I think knowing where to put the ball, having the great athletes that they had, and then just the offense was built around just Joe's strength. We were talking about this as a staff the other day. You got a quarterback that can run and has legs to make something out of nothing. Then you build an offense that features that. With Joe had the ability to know what a defense was in, the structures of that defense, the weaknesses of it, and the ability to attack it. So to get out of this play into this other play, right? Or, hey, this last series, they were in this coverage, and they were in this coverage when number 33 was, topping the slot receiver with inside leverage. He would buzz into the curl area, and that corner is going to bail. And so sit the ball down to the Z and give them an 8-yard cushion and let's let them work. Those types of things could be processed so quickly. I mean, he saw it so clear and the ball was out and it was decisive. And those are the things I'm sure you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think just the film study, just the you're talking about an offensive coordinator that's playing quarterback. Is really what it was. And so the offense was built around those strengths. And so he had the keys to the car. And so he drove it, as he saw fit. When you have all of those things kind of in line, you're talking about someone that can do with it what they want. And he was able to get that done.
Talking to Baylor head coach Dave Aranda here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Landry Locker, John Lopez. You went to LSU to join Coach Ed Orgeron, and I don't want to say people were skeptical, but people were skeptical that Ed Orgeron would win a national championship. Now he doesn't have to buy a meal in Louisiana for the rest of his life. Right. Did he always have that confidence when you joined him? And at what point did you realize, my gosh, we're gonna reach the highest level of college football? Me and Coach O.
Really early on, you could tell. I mean, he was that way from the beginning. I think, I think O's a great story, just with the success he had at USC, the opportunity he had at Ole Miss, the lessons that he learned there, applying them at USC again, having success, and then applying them again as an interim at LSU. And so you could tell then that he had the pulse of the team. He energized the coaching staff. He built guys up to where they enjoyed coming to work. They enjoyed being around him. I think everyone didn't want to let Coach O down, and they wanted to really work hard for him. And someone that can cultivate that, and that's the culture. It's just really strong, and that continued to grow throughout.
Your story's not, you know, similar. You don't have the Ole Miss, but you know, you've been in the game for 25 years. And I mean, you've been at Texas Tech, you've been at Hawaii, you've been at Utah State, then you go Big Ten football, Wisconsin. We know that style. Go to, you know, well-rounded SEC, and now you're in the Big 12. So it seems like when it comes to the path and being prepared for the situation you're in, you've seen every single style of football going into Baylor. How much of an advantage is that?
No, I think it's an advantage. I think, you know, you have to take advantage of your advantages. You know, the being with the coaches that I've been around, just so unique. There's a cast of characters there. And so just right away, the takeaway is that you can be yourself, you know, connect with your players, connect with your coaches. You know, they need to know that you care about them. And then you can take off from there. So whether it's, you know, Mike Leach or, you know, Greg McMackin or Gary Anderson or Paul Christ or Coach O, you know, I think there's just a lot of different personalities inherent in there, but, you know, everyone was able to do it their own way and was able to motivate and lead in their own way. And so it's good for you, for a guy coming up to see that, because you could get lost in thinking that there's only one way to do it. But then seeing the different styles of play as well, and the Big Ten's very specific style in the SEC, it's a very wide open style. I think plays hold a really high regard in the SEC. I think in the Big Ten, there's probably less emphasis on plays, more emphasis on development and this is who we are and this is what we do. And the SEC, it's a little bit more recruiting, and we're going to feature this and we're going to feature this play. We're going to run that play. We got to play for your play. And so, you know, each league is different. There's there's kind of a gut feeling that you have when you're in a particular league. And you know, I think the experiences that you have throughout kind of prepare you for, you know, as each week progresses and new challenges arise, you can draw on those experiences.
We're talking to new Baylor coach Dave Aranda. Dave, Friday is Baylor night at the Houston Touchdown Club. I'm sorry, Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. When you were at U of H in 2002 and 3, did you make it over to the rodeo?
I didn't. You know, I remember the traffic, though.
It's still there. It's still there.
But I'm excited to go. I'm really looking forward to spend time. And I know we've talked a lot about it here these last couple of weeks about making it down. And so I'm excited to experience the rodeo for the first time.
Talking to Baylor head coach Dave Aranda here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Dave, last time my Longhorns faced your Baylor Bears, the head coach of the Longhorns, Tom Herman, headbutted a player before the game. Are we going to see a headbutt showdown when you guys face off next year?
No. It'd be good to see Tom. I was able to catch up with Tom at a coaching clinic there in Dallas a couple of weeks ago. And so I've got a lot of respect for him. You know, Tom and I, we've known each other since college days, and we've kept in touch ever since. You know, I want to say he was at the University of Texas as a grad assistant. I was at Texas Tech as a grad assistant, and he made his way over to Lubbock, and we were able to hang out and talk ball. And I think his girlfriend at the time, and now his wife, came with him, and I made it over to Austin with my girlfriend at the time. It's now my wife, and we were able to hang out. So it's been a really cool relationship that we've had. And like I say, just a lot of respect for him. And you know, Matt Wells would be another at Texas Tech now. Oh, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. Coaching with Matt at Utah State, and he and his family are still really close to my family. When we were in Logan there, we spent quite a amount of time together. And I know that my wife's really looking forward to getting close to their family again when she makes it back to Texas. And so it's neat. I guess the longer you go, the smaller your circle gets, or, you know, you know more and more people, and those relationships mean so much. And we're excited to compete versus friends.
Dave, I was at the Baylor-Kansas game, and every time there was a break, you had to get up and shake hands. Are you still shaking hands? And have you had a chance to think about that first game against Ole Miss, a team you know very well that has a new head coach in Lane Kiffin. I know Baylor fans down here are really fired up about seeing Baylor play play Ole Miss and you whipping up on Lane Kiffin. You had a chance to think about that game much?
I have. Yeah, we've talked about it quite a bit, and we're in the process of breaking the appropriate tapes for that the preparation for that game, and so we're starting now. You know, getting studies done and getting things broken down so we can attack that the right way. You know, it's going to be a challenging game, I think, especially game one, with just coordinators coming from different schools and having to look at the personnel that's there at that school and, you know, the influences that can go into an offense or a defense. There's quite a bit of detective work that goes into it. And so you do the best you can with all of it, but I'm excited about the challenge and, I feel really good about our team, and I know that we'll be prepared. And you know, we're starting now, and so we'll have everything squared away.
That's new Baylor coach Dave Aranda. Dave, we still got traffic. Come early for Baylor night at the rodeo on Friday. We've got right here a gig'em and a hook'em.
You're darn right you do.
And sick'em.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
That's it.
Hey, Tell Tom to quit headbutting people, Dave, please. Drove me nuts, man.
Thank you very much, Dave.
All right, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
It's Dave Aranda, Baylor head coach right there on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 6.
He's got some prospects, man. Headbutt. I was just looking
at how much money did A&M help him get at LSU when they tried to hire him?
Oh, yeah, that's
highest
right.
Highest paid assistant in football.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
didn't
it was $1.6 million
or something.
It was 1.9. It might be more than two, yeah.
Hey, I didn't say this to him on the line because he's a nice guy and I love John McClain, but I watched Texas play against that LSU defense last year. I'm not scared of that.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
That's the best game Longhorns played all year.
Yeah, probably in the
might
last 10.
Might have been 10. The worst game LSU played.
Yeah, that might be true. The last 10, I'm definitely just kidding. NFL
Hey,
Hall of
you're
Famer.
You're pulling for a basketball school. Four wins
there
in a
go.
Row.
There you go.
Shaka Smart.
No, but I've told everybody's losing to him on purpose now because they want him to come back. It's like everybody's throwing games now. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain in the building. We've missed this. We have missed this time so much. We do it every Tuesday at 11:20. It is back. The return of world famous leg hiking. There's a U of H prospect who I don't think is going to be a first rounder. We'll see what NFL Hall of Famer John McClain has to say about that next. The NFL Hall of Famer John McClain has returned, and so has world famous leg hiking. I'm going to start with a U of H prospect, Josh Jones. Josh Jones will not be a first round pick.
Hike it. Josh Jones, left tackle, will be a first round
really?
Pick. Really? The top four should go in the top 10 or 12, and then there's a drop off. You guys know how many teams need left tackles.
Mm-hmm.
He blew me away in his interview. I wrote a column about him. He was funny. He was informative. He was just, he had people rolling, mm-hmm. and the crowd kept getting bigger. It's like
they heard the buzz.
Yeah, they heard the buzz, and then people start throwing out dumb questions like about movies and stuff. Turned out he's a movie nut, and he'd go by himself. I'd hate to sit behind him since he's 6'6" and 319, but he's going in the first round, and what a great talker, a local kid. I was so happy. I did a thing on him and Ross Blacklock from TCU, defensive tackle, whose dad, Jimmy Blacklock, I remember played guard on the UT basketball team and then played for Globetrotters for years. But Jimmy Blacklock was the first starter and letterman who was African-American for UT basketball. And now his son plays a big-time football prospect. Getting to know those two local guys was very cool.
Peyton Manning will be on Monday Night Football next year.
Hike it. They've tried to hire him in the past. He said no. They said ESPN, you know, ESPN didn't get to negotiate. CBS got to negotiate with Tony Romo. That was the contract. And so when they gave him $17 million, he wanted to stay with Jim Nance, and he took it. They thought ESPN was not going to offer him anywhere near that.
Yeah.
And I cannot see Peyton Manning taking an ESPN job that would require
that's
him to
the
work
buzz
about
right now. You've heard that.
Oh, yeah. They've tried to get him in the past. Because if they're not going to offer Tony Romo 17, they would have to offer Peyton, I'm sure, at least 18 mm-hmm. to get him to do it. But if they did it, they've tried to get him every year, and he said thanks, but no thanks. Last year, of course, he spent all season doing that thing for NFL Plus for the 100-year anniversary of the NFL. So maybe he'll be bored now and do it.
Did you hear Greg Olsen with the Roughnecks doing his color commentary?
I did not.
He was good.
He's really good, John.
He's really good.
Oh, they've offered him jobs right now, but he's still trying to play football. And I think it's funny. He played
signed a one-year deal.
Eric Metcalf, now he's playing with DK Metcalf. And but he has done some TV broadcasting, and he is outstanding.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He'll have multiple offers when he decides what he wants to do.
The best offensive mind in town when it comes to calling plays is June Jones.
June Jones, yes. The Roughnecks unbeaten 4-0. Their defense is playing great. Ted Cottrell, longtime defensive coordinator, who's same age as Romeo Crennel. They lead the league in turnovers, and I'm so fired up about him, I'm going to do another column on him this week.
All right, so you saw this, I'm sure, as well. It broke this morning. The NCAA is saying that they are considering, because of the coronavirus, playing NCAA tournament games in empty stadiums.
Don't they already do that?
They will. I see what you did there. They will never play an NCAA tournament game in an empty stadium.
Of course they won't play a game. You know, I know the coronavirus has been bad in Asia, and now they're saying Italy. But
are we
going to
get a coronavirus take from the general?
I saw a thing that pointed out other viruses that have been a lot worse and how many more people die from the flu. And but that's the lead story on every news, every online, everything. But I don't think the NCAA is going to play games without fans.
No, they're not. And the reason they're not is they're going to go through all the motions. I was telling the boys this before the show. They're going to go through all the motions. They're going to look and act like they're very concerned and they're doing all the right things and they're trying all the possibilities. But then CBS, TBS, all the networks are going to come in and go, hey, about that? No. No, because the ratings would absolutely crater.
Wouldn't that be weird? Oh, seeing empty stadiums of basketball.
Be cool.
You could hear them dribbling.
Yeah,
you could hear them talking, cussing at each other.
But the ratings
would crash. It's empty a lot of times anyways.
It's not empty a lot
of
times. I mean, there are empty seats.
The 11 a.m.
We're talking empty.
I was saying there are empty seats.
The 11 a.m. games.
But there's still a lot of atmosphere for the teams.
It's like seven people there.
Come on now. For the teams that are playing, that is not true. Bill O'Brien will trade DJ Reader.
No, absolutely not. I get it.
You saw the reports, right?
You can't trade a guy who's not under contract.
Well, I mean, they could tag
him. He'd have to work out a contract.
Tag him back.
Or
sign him.
Then you got to pay him $15 million a year when you could get a corner for that, and they need a corner worse.
Jadeveon Clowney will be in the division next year.
Oh, gosh. I don't see Chris. He wants over $100 million. He had three sacks last year. He was hurt. He had one great game. I saw a thing that the Seahawks want to re-sign him, but they're not giving him $100 million. Mm-hmm. But there are teams out there that have a lot of money, like Indy, but Indy's not going to spend money on him. Tennessee's not going to do it because they and Jacksonville has terrible cap. So, no, Heikkinen, he will not be in the division.
The Houston Texans will release Will Fuller.
Absolutely not. Heikkinen.
How are they going to be? They're going to be over the cap.
No, they're on $64 million under the cap.
There's SpotRack has them at $60 million. They're going to get $35 million for Deshaun Watson, $20 million for
Yeah, but you do Tunsil. Long-term contracts and low-base salaries, and
bonus money.
It doesn't count much against the cap at all.
There are different years when it counts against the cap, the big numbers. It's
like when Watt
call.
Signed for $100 million. People are like, oh, my God, it's going to kill their cap. Chris Olsen did a great job. Rick Smith did a great job. It's never been an issue.
Okay.
Laremy Tunsil will get a new deal before training camp.
Before training. Yeah, he will. They told him they were going to do it, and Laremy Tunsil will get a new deal. Makes him the highest paid lineman in history.
Deshaun Watson will get a new deal before training camp.
He's got 2 years left. I'm going to say Watson. Yeah, why not? Sure, Watson will get a new deal before camp. Poor old Zach Cunningham.
Yordan Alvarez will take at least one stint on the DL before the All-Star break.
Yeah, I agree with that. He will.
His knees, man.
I'd leave him as a DH. The heck with putting him in the outfield. They got outfielders.
Yeah, but can he do that his whole career?
Be a DH?
David Ortiz did.
Manny Ramirez did.
Yeah.
No, Manny was in left.
Oh, that's right. Manny
Ortiz.
Was in left.
He said Ortiz.
One of the worst in history. You're
hit
right.
The RC, Figgy.
Big Pappy.
Big Poppy did. It was not. It was not Manny. John, what's coming up in the Chronicle? It's great to have you back, man.
Thank you, guys.
How was
great
your trip?
To be back. My trip was great. I had a blast. Next week, not affecting this, but I'm going to spring training, see the Astros, play a couple of games.
Hey, do you want to hear some panic? I'm not to cut you off, but
yeah, go ahead.
You want to see what happens when people panic?
Black Friday.
Apparently, Alex Bregman missed two games over the weekend with illness. Jose Altuve is home now because he's not feeling well. So, you know, they're in Florida. And, yeah, people are going to start coronavirus.
That's
be careful,
the way it's going to be with everybody that sneezes.
So, anyway, I cut you off.
That's all right. So, I'm headed over to Facebook Live. Aaron Wilson and I'll have two podcasts we're doing today, and I'll be writing about the Texans and the draft on Sunday. And I'm playing a Roughnecks column. Thank you guys very much, as always.
Did you get to see Mother Football in Indy? Was Shireen there?
Sikkim, of course. She and I, she's my best friend. We're everywhere together.
There we go. And shout out to Mother Football. Love me
Thanks
some Mother Football.
Thanks to Dave Aranda.
Thank you very much to John McClain for joining us. He does so every Tuesday, courtesy of Horn Solutions. Stanford Route usually on Wednesdays. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock. We're going to talk about the death of one of the baddest men in the history of the planet. He's not really dead, but he kind of is dead. He's a little bit dead. He's kind of dead. But he's not
kind of like
dead.
You said earlier, kind of pregnant.
And he feels like he might wake up. You know exactly what I meant when I said that. The Texans, they're believed to be in the mix for one of the best corners in free agency. And Jadeveon Clowney could end up where? Say it ain't so. The hits are next. All right, big news of the day. Laremy Tunsil has fired his agent. He is seeking new representation. We talked about how the negotiations had begun a couple of days ago. Really no reason to negotiate. He has the Texans by the coconuts. He has King Bill by the coconuts. He's going to be the highest paid offensive lineman in the history of the NFL. It's really pretty simple for Laremy Tunsil at this point. You're not really negotiating very much.
You're not. I mean, he has you with the new agent. I mean, that's a clear sign right there. That's an obvious sign. There was talk. In fact, Bill O'Brien himself flat out said, we're negotiating. We're having those talks, I think is how he put it. With Deshaun Watson and with Laremy Tunsil, so clearly something did not add up for him literally, and he wanted to get a better opportunity to get a bigger contract. Here's the funny part, it's a little bit interesting to me. I've been around Jimmy Sexton. I know him a little bit. I mean, I can't pick up the phone and call him, but I know him a little bit. He is a piranha when it comes to some of these he's got a really good. I guess angle because he represents a bunch of head coaches in the NFL. He may well represent Bill O'Brien. I don't know, but he represents a bunch of head coaches in college.
Whoever his agent is needs to be
in college football.
Get a statue built for him.
No kidding. Mostly college football coaches, but some NFL coaches and a bunch of players. This guy, if anyone can negotiate a $20 million a year deal, it's Jimmy Sexton.
But why would you want? And I think a loophole brought up a good point. Do you need someone like Jimmy Sexton who probably requires a higher percentage in this situation?
Yes. Because,
why?
Because you balance that with the millions more you're ending up getting. Because
how?
It's usually 4% is the standard on contracts that agents get and 10% of endorsements. 10 or 12% of endorsements. Last time I had a discussion with an agent, it's usually about 4% on contracts. And about 10 or 12% on endorsements. 4% of $1 million is whatever that number is. But what if you get an extra $2 million?
But
you know, so it's worth it.
But he already knows what he's going to get, right? I mean,
apparently not.
Maybe he knows that he's going to be the highest paid offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. McClain has said it, and he's like, well, maybe I could just get someone else that's going to take 2% instead of 4%. I don't understand why these guys in
now
the NBA.
Now, that's a possibility.
I don't understand why these guys in the NBA even have agents at times.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a max player, what are they negotiating?
Yeah.
Why would I give an agent 4% of my contract that's not even negotiated? It's literally guaranteed max money.
I do think.
Literally guaranteed. Like, you did nothing.
Well, they do the legwork, you know. But you can get an attorney to read the contract.
Which is what Ray Allen used to do with Johnny Cochran. Rest in peace to Johnny Cochran. If the glove don't fit, you must acquit. That's what he used to do. He used to pay him to just go over it.
There are indeed situations when a player probably doesn't really need an agent. This is not one of those situations.
Pave Tex is such a hater.
What'd he do?
He said, I hope Tunsil drains the Texans' bank account. But you're going to get your wish. I mean, it's going to happen. Not only did he require two firsts and a second, Laremy Tunsil is going to get all this money now. It's going to be absolutely nuts.
I mean, but you knew that going in. He just has all the leverage. You've lost all the leverage.
He's lost all the leverage. This is going to be looked at as a bad trade in 5 years. I'm telling you. Mark my words. We will look back at this Laremy Tunsil trade, and we will look at this as a very, very bad trade, a potentially crippling trade for the Houston Texans. Mark it, Figgy.
Okay.
Mark it. Save
March
it.
March 3rd.
Highlight it.
2020, 11/36/53.
Make it your ringtone. Do what you got to do. Free agency begins in 15 days. According to Tony Rink, the Texans are one of the teams believed to be interested
Tony
in the service.
Rink. Does he know Rink? Robert Arthur?
I have no idea who he is.
What are you quoting Tony Rink?
Do you know him?
No.
But he says that the Texans are interested in Chris Harris.
Is he from Baseball Prospectus?
I don't know.
What are you bringing in Tony Rink for?
Tony Rink. That's who said. He reported it.
What does he have, 800 Twitter followers?
Let me see. Tony Rink.
Tony Rink. According to Tony Rink, Robert Arthur's work cousin.
No, I really want to know who Tony Rink is.
I heard that expression this morning, and I'm going to start.
Oh, here. I said Tony Rink. Troy Rink, 56,000. He is a Broncos insider / sports anchor at Denver 7. He's won Emmys. He's won Sportscaster of the Year in 2019.
All right.
He loves Chewy Sprees, and I love Chewy Sprees,
and he's
too.
Got a dog background picture. Yeah. So I'm all in on
56,000. I said his wrong. I said his name wrong.
I'm
it's
all
Troy,
in on
not
Troy
Tony.
Rink. Okay, I stand corrected. Yeah.
So Troy knows. The Texans are interested in Chris Harris. Why?
Why?
Why is he better than Bradley Roby?
I think he's better. You don't think he's better?
He's older. He's probably a little better in the slot, but I just don't. He might actually get more money than Bradley Roby. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is really like a? All right,
it's an upgrade.
If
that's your question, it's an upgrade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if it's like you're not getting. You know,
he's 29.
Richard Sherman.
I mean,
but
you look at the corners that have signed that like 29, 30 big deals. Mm-hmm. They're getting cut 3 years later.
No, you're not wrong.
That's usually happening.
You're not wrong.
I mean, that's why there's a lot of veterans on the market right now. It's going to be interesting to see. But my man Troy Rink. Not Tony, Troy Rink, who's won many awards.
Oh, all kinds of awards.
All kinds of awards. Emmys for days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's Emmys coming out of his ears. He says that Chris Harris could potentially be a Texan. CBS is paying Tony Romo $180 million for 10 years. He's good, but is he that good? Does Tony Romo, it's a big game when Tony Romo's there, but when John Lopez is watching a football game, is Tony Romo like... $12 million better than the other analyst?
Dude, you're worth what they want to pay you. And they want to pay him that. And they can, and he can thank ESPN for that. I do think Peyton Manning is going to get a big, big, big fat check. Now, whether he wants to do it or not, who knows, from ESPN. Because clearly ESPN made all this money for Tony, or helped make all this money for Tony Romo, because they made a big run for him. They know Monday Night Football is dying. You know, I know they'll always.
Well, that's what happens when you hire Berger McFarland.
Exactly.
Like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
That Berger McFarland is an 11 a.m. analyst. He is, and I'm talking about on a Saturday, not even a Sunday. Berger McFarland is the guy that's calling the Vanderbilt versus whatever,
Ole Miss.
South Wisconsin game. Like, that's Berger McFarland. They gave him Monday Night Football. That's a disgrace.
No, and that's my point. ESPN knows that.
What are they doing?
They know that. They know that they got it wrong. And I think, like, They're going to have to just pay for it. They got to fix it. They're going to try to get Peyton Manning.
If you were Greg Olsen, let's say you're Greg Olsen, you just signed a one-year, $7 million deal to play with the Seahawks. You've had all these injuries. What if Monday Night Football said, look, Greg, we'll give you a five-year, $50 million deal. Do you take that and not play one more year?
Yesterday. With all the wear and tear on his body? I mean, come on.
He's got a bright future. Greg Olsen's going to be
good. He's really good. If you haven't heard him on the XFL game.
All right, we talked about bread. So just to put in perspective, Tony Romo's getting $18 million a year, $180 million for 10 years. Judge Judy, you familiar with her work?
Yeah, she's one of the richest people on TV.
She's retiring.
Really?
She told Ellen yesterday that she's going to retire at the end of next season. It's going to be the show's 25th year.
over the last 17 years. You ready for this salary for the last 17 years?
I was just
going to
look it up. You got it?
I got it.
All right.
The last 17 years, Judge Judy, $644 million for Judge Judy in the last 17 years.
Dude, that started out like as a filler show. Remember Judge Wapner?
Remember Judge Mathis? He sucked.
No, Wapner was the first. You know.
You remember Mathis?
10 minutes to Wapner. Remember that on...
But Judge Judy was clearly the best.
Well, she came in as like filler, you know, for him, like whenever he couldn't do it. And then somebody else hired her. And she was like, what do you watch between the morning network shows and your soap operas? They threw her in there. $644 million later, she's retired.
You know what? Like, sometimes someone sets a trend and then people after, mm-hmm. you know, kind of carry the torch.
Right.
None of these judges that are trying to be Judge Judy can hold her jock.
No.
Like, she really is the goat of these types of shows.
She surpassed. Wapner was the guy, and she just like she passed him like he's standing still.
What do you think of Drew Carey hosting Price is Right?
I like it, but come on. There's only one Bob Barker. There's only one Barker. I think he's good.
Do you?
Drew Carey was on.
He's not terrible.
Masked Singer.
He's not awful, though, right?
No, he's good. He's good. I think college kids like him more. College kids love Bob Barker, though, too.
What about Alex Trebek?
He's a legend. Talk about the GOAT.
What about the Wheel of Fortune host?
Oh, Pat Sajak?
Yeah.
He's been doing it 37 years.
What about Vanna White?
She's got that fastball, man. She's Verlander.
Ageless?
Yeah.
Dude, Vanna White. She brings it.
Yeah.
Is there any other game shows that I'm missing?
Well, Family Feud. Come on now.
Isn't that Steve Harvey?
Yeah.
He does a good job.
I wonder what his net worth is.
Steve Harvey?
Yeah.
A lot of money. Yeah. Steve Harvey dresses
this
so good.
This just in.
Steve Harvey dresses so good, he doesn't even wear the same suit in reruns. I'm serious. If you watched...
Did you steal that from a comedian?
If you watched the Steve Harvey show...
You stole that. That is not a Landlock original. I guarantee that is not a Landlock original.
If you watch the Steve Harvey show, he doesn't even wear the same suit in reruns.
I'm going to look it up.
That's how good he dresses.
And I know I know you stole
Somebody
that.
Somebody tweeted it.
Yeah.
No one tweeted it.
Yeah, you stole it, though. I'm looking it
look
up.
Look it up. Prove it.
I will. As soon as you said, you're like, I got a line for you.
Look at that. Nothing.
Yeah, there is.
Nothing.
There's a comedian.
Nothing.
Come on, you got to come clean.
Nothing.
Because you know I'm right.
Nothing, bro. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Titans are being mentioned as a potential landing spot for Jadeveon Clowney. I'll tell you this. Of all the things that could potentially happen that would make Bill O'Brien look foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Jadeveon Clowney not only going to Tennessee, but going to Tennessee. You can't find it, can you?
I'm not looking anymore.
Okay, I see you over there.
I'm on Twitter.
Jadeveon Clowney going to Tennessee and playing for Mike Vrabel and reviving his career would make Bill O'Brien look bad for multiple reasons.
Well, he doesn't have a career to revive. I mean, he just needs to get more sacks.
No, and he just needs to play more. And everyone said he was hurt. The problem with the franchise tag is that if I'm even nicked up, I'm not playing.
Mm-hmm.
My salary's guaranteed, and I'm trying to get a big contract, so I'm not going to play. So there's a lot of times where he wasn't playing, but his advanced stats were nice. If he goes and plays for a former coach in Mike Vrabel, because keep in mind that during the time period in which Bill O'Brien was, according to most reports, developing a distaste for Jadeveon Clowney, most of the time Mike Vrabel was there. So if Mike Vrabel, who works closer with Clowney than Bill O'Brien did, who was a linebacker coach and a defensive coordinator, takes on Jadeveon Clowney and Jadeveon Clowney finds his form, the same Mike Vrabel who's been to the AFC Championship in two seasons and has as many playoff wins, too, as Bill O'Brien does in his 6 years with the Houston Texans, that would make Bill O'Brien look really, 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 really bad. Really bad.
Don't you get the feeling that Clowney wants to play in the AFC South? Because the two teams mentioned most often right now are Indianapolis and Tennessee.
I think JD, this is what I think about JD.
He told his agent, I don't care where I go as long as in the AFC South.
I think JD just likes to be in the South, period.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I don't think JD, like JD, yeah. JD is a country boy. Like JD, yeah. JD is country. I think he wants to be in the South, period.
Yeah. No, you're right.
That's I think Tennessee, a big part of it. He would love going to Tennessee. But if Vrabel just says, I love this guy, what does that say about Bill O'Brien? What does that say?
No, it doesn't say a lot. I mean, it's not good.
Dude, you imagine seeing him in dreads out there.
With Tom Brady on the other side of the ball.
Man, come on. Dude. That better not happen. Astros are going to have their full regular squad on the field shortly, minus Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez. Altuve is sick.
Dun, dun, dun.
And Yordan Alvarez has sore knees.
Yeah, I don't feel real good about Yordan right now.
Who has better knees, Bill Walton or Yordan Alvarez? 713-572-4610.
I mean, it's spring training. You can work around, you know, your rehab or training or whatever, and he's missing games. That's not a good sign.
His knees were sore last year. That's why he wasn't in the field.
Yeah, that's an even. He's 22?
Yeah, he's 22, but what's weird about it is they kept saying that he just didn't know how to play outfield. But they had him out there.
Well, that's A.J. Hinch just taking care of his guy.
They had him out there in the World Series in one of the games.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden his knees are sore again. Yordan, I know those birth certificates are a little rough sometimes, but damn, bro. What are you, 22 going on 60?
Yeah.
Moving around like Bill Russell courtside.
Mm-hmm.
Astros heckling is picked up. We'll keep you up to date on the full squad, kind of, in a little bit. But here is an Astros heckler giving it to Jose Altuve the other day.
Jose, give Judge's MVP back. You owe Judge an MVP, baby. Asterisk next to that. What's that? Oh. Hey, Jose, give Judge's MVP back.
Get used to it, man.
That was part one. Now, here he is yelling at the dugout, and an Astros fan weighs in as he's yelling into the dugout.
Are you going to give the trophy back? You guys keeping the trophy, or are you going to give it back?
As long as you keep paying.
How about that? How about the rings?
As long as you keep paying to come see us.
Going
to
keep the rings? You going to keep the rings or the MVP, or are you going to give it back?
Just keep paying to come see us.
I'll come to do this.
I love that part. You got to give him, you got to grade heckling. Now, you might not like the content, but I give him a pretty good grade because no profanity. It was topical. Somebody came at him, and he had a really good retort. I'll keep doing this. The first one, did you hear the guy at the very beginning of it go, I remember when I had my first beer? I like that. It was good. But, it's just going to.
My buddy made a big league pitcher cry one time. We were like sophomores in high school.
Get out of here.
Dude, the guy went and put his head down and was like sitting there with his hands between his heads, and his teammates were even laughing at him. That's how bad my friend got in his head.
What did he say? Was it too personal? I don't like.
He called
those
him
kind.
A fat ass or something like that.
Yeah.
And then said something like, "I've never seen a piece of ass piled that high." And then the player, he was a huge dude, but his voice for some reason cracked when he yelled back at my friend.
Really?
He's yelling back at a 16-year-old, and he goes, "Go suck another one, buddy." And my friend's just like, dude, you got to be kidding me. There's no way any of your teammates are taking you serious. And he just goes and like sits down, like puts his head down.
Oh, my gosh.
His name was Ray King. He was a relief pitcher, Ray King.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Cody
Cook.
Made him cry. Go sit there. But that, I don't know. Maybe Ray was having a bad day. Maybe something was going on. Mike D'Antoni had a good month.
Yeah, he did.
He was the Western Conference Coach of the Month for February 10th time. He won that fifth with the Rockets. Rockets went 9-2 during the month. However, they did not start February off.
March.
March off too well. They went and faced the Knicks yesterday. They were trailing 73-63 at half, trailed by as much as 21 at 1 point, and they ended up losing this game 125-123. Russell Westbrook misses a jumper as time expires, and the Rockets lose to the dog-butted New York Knicks. 2 days now. There's 2 days now until the Rockets will face the Los Angeles Clippers. This was a tough loss for the Rockets. They needed this one because they needed to gain ground on the Clippers. Missed opportunity, and I got to tell you,
mm-hmm.
even if you don't watch the full Rockets game, Calvin Murphy and Kevin Eschenfelder are awesome post-game. Calvin Murphy does not hold back on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin Murphy's funny, man.
No, he is funny.
And he makes Kevin kind of uncomfortable with some of the stuff he says.
But that's a great post-game show. A lot of times when you're skipping around and you miss some of the game, I just watch post-game show, get the highlights, Murph. Yeah.
That's the best local post-game show, as far as TV, because that's really – it's between that and it's between the Strohs. I would say that one's better.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't dislike the Strohs. Just Calvin Murphy's got a little more swagger, if you will, than
anyone
else.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying he's got a little more swagger. You see the way he dresses? Yeah.
Everybody's seen how he dresses.
Yeah. You better be wearing some shades whenever you walk by. My man Calvin Murphy. There were rumors before this game, irresponsible rumors, that James Dolan had banned Spike Lee from Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
There was a video that surfaced of Spike Lee. Here's what the video sounds like. Spike Lee is yelling at security guards, and the irresponsible rumors began that James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, had kicked out Spike Lee.
But no one told me. No one told me. No one told me. I'm staying here. Now, you want to arrest me like Charles Oakley? You go ahead. Or you going to arrest me like you're going to shut my hands on my back like Oakley?
So apparently Spike Lee, once the dust settled, he was trying to go through an employee entrance.
Yeah.
And they told him he couldn't go through the entrance, and he got pissed.
Yellow windbreaker syndrome, baby. Happens everywhere to everyone.
I mean, I get that you got to check an ID and everything. But it's Spike effing Lee.
Yeah.
He's been the most loyal fan to the Knicks for the last 3 decades.
He shouldn't be a fan anymore, or at least not spending his money like that.
Dude,
did you see what they were talking
about?
They
said that he spent $30 million or $10 million on tickets in the last 30 years. Dude, do they really make Spike Lee and like Jack Nicholson pay for their tickets?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, because then they wouldn't be at every game.
But they're part of the attraction at this point.
Well, sure they are.
They're part of the face of, like, if you go to a Lakers game, that's the first thing you look is see those guys. You should be paying them to be there.
You should, but they don't. You're going to turn down money? Somebody else will scoop those seats right up, man. Right up.
Spike Lee.
Yeah.
Knicks win.
How about that? They won on a day that he got all exercised.
Win. Mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook. Finished strong. Russell Westbrook actually had a couple. He had a yam, like a nasty yam through three guys.
Were you talking about how he attacks the basket?
Gross. Then he had a left-handed layup, and then James Harden got to the cup and missed the layup.
Yeah.
And then on the final shot, they went to Russell Westbrook,
and he missed.
The debate about whose team this is.
No, it's James Harden's team, but Russell Westbrook is the best player on the team.
XFL news, the Roughnecks. They're going to return home this weekend. 4-0 on the season, the only unbeaten team in the league. Saturday, 2 p.m., they're going to host Seattle. Here was Bill O'Brien, the Texans head coach, talking about the XFL product.
Yeah, I think the XFL has been interesting to watch. I mean, some of the different rules, the kickoff rule, the 1-2-3-point, point after rule, watch the Houston team. You know, they're fun to watch. I mean, they have good quarterback. June's doing a good job of that team. I think it's a fun league to watch. I think I'm not sure that I would want the players being interviewed on the sideline in between series. I would probably not like that. And I definitely wouldn't want to be interviewed during the series. I'm sure you would like to see that. But so it's been fun. It's been fun to watch.
Could you imagine Bill O'Brien getting
in
interviewed
the middle of,
in
like
the
after
middle
an
of
interception
game?
Or something? What'd you see with Deshaun Watson there? The hell out of my face.
Dude, that would be absolutely crazy. By the way, a loophole says that Spike Lee sucks and his movies are terrible. Do you agree or disagree?
No. Come on now.
Is he wrong, Figgy?
Yes, he's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I know He Got Game's a classic for me. I thought Black Klansman was a very, very good movie. There's some pretty good movies. Malcolm X was good, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think they're terrible. I think he has some bad movies, but...
Everybody has some bad movies.
I think that He Got Game's great.
Oh, I forgot he did Mo' Better Blues.
Did what?
Mo' Better Blues. That's just one of it's just a movie I like.
Said that at first. You just put a little extra in it.
Mo?
Yeah.
Mo' Better?
Mo' Better Blues.
Yeah, I forgot about that. You should see it. It's not like one of his classics, but I like it. Yeah, he's got some. Kings of Comedy, he did that.
Yeah, but he just had to put a camera on for that. Let's be honest.
Right.
I mean, Speaking of Steve Harvey.
That's all he did?
Speaking of, pretty much.
He just turned on a camera?
Turned on a camera and let Steve Harvey, Cedric the Entertainer, D.L. Hughley, all them talk. That was easy. 713-572-4610 to get in. Some breaking news involving your Houston Texans. Is the task ahead of King Bill about to get even more difficult? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.